we're having trouble. We're having trouble right now winning the fight battle. You know, teams are out fighting us, and we can't. Can't take pride in that. We've got to do something to get that fight back and win some battles.
Right.
Joe shot the ball very well. Yeah, no question about that. Our passing in the first half was just, I've never seen that before. You know, we've thrown them layups, you know, on three or four occasions and hadn't done that before. So we've got to take better care of the ball now. Have to add that to our list of concerns. And we got many.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's definitely not a good loss for us, losing two in a row. And got to get back and get better. We got a lot of stuff to work on, and we came out here and they jumped on us and came out flat-footed. We got to get better. There's a lot of areas we got to get better at, and it seems like we work on them in practice and come out in the game and know what to do them. So we got to execute our game plan better. I wish I knew the answer why we weren't playing as well as we can. I don't know. We just got to get our defensive intensity back. It seems like we drilled all week in practice, and we come out and we don't do it. So we got to execute our game plan better, get out there and want it more than the other team. Tonight it looked like they wanted it a lot more than us.
Hello there, boys and girls listening out there in Rebel Room land. Ryan Green, Rob Misch. We're just going to skip the intro because both of us have had allergies acting up today in Fort Collins. And
sneezing, you know, we've been sneezing our brains out.
And we've been looking around. It's not like there's a lot of dust or mold or dead grass or anything like that around, or cats or dogs. But we kind of pinpointed what it is we're probably allergic to.
I think we just figured it out.
Go for it.
No, this was your brainstorm. You just hit, folks, just 3.5 minutes ago here in beautiful Fort Collins, Ryan Green got to the heart of why we've been sneezing so much today when we got off the plane. Go ahead.
Bad basketball.
Bad basketball.
I didn't think
bad basketball. Go in the corner.
I didn't think you could be allergic to it, but apparently we both are.
We need some clippers for our nose, too. That's some stinky bad guys.
Boy, where do we start? Let's start at warm-ups. Let's start at warm-ups. First of all, we will tell you, in case you haven't heard by now, UNLV lost to, I guess we could say lowly, Colorado State, 71-69 tonight at the Moby Arena in front of a robust crowd of 2,757.
It actually sounded like 3,500.
Shoot, I was going to say it sounded like 350.
But lowly is the word, because let's really properly set this up. Colorado State had lost its previous 19 regular season games in the Mountain West Conference, stretching over 3 seasons, so lowly is appropriate, and especially when they got slammed by 26 by BYU in this arena Saturday, and that game shouldn't have been that close.
Yep.
And also, just to preface this really well, don't think for a second that UNLV players and coaches did not look at that BYU game and think that if we don't come close to that, we're not in BYU's league.
Yeah.
So this one had some pretty big ramifications.
Well, you mentioned we want to start at the start, and we're going to start. It's actually before the start. We got to the ball yard about an hour before tip off, and UNLV was just coming out for its warm ups, and you know, it's not like we pay uber close attention to warm ups and watch every detail of it, but
actually we do.
One thing's been pretty.
We do that because our readers deserve and our listeners deserve that.
But one thing that's been pretty consistent this year is on the road. You know, they come out and they've been able to keep a pretty sharp focus and demeanor when they come out to warm up. You know, keeping their eyes straight ahead, not looking around, just not really saying much, just getting out there, getting warmed up, stretched out. You know, shooting a little bit.
Very few shenanigans.
Business-like.
Very little shenanigans. There's not much playfulness. It's sort of serious. It's sort of businesslike.
Tonight was the complete opposite.
Total opposite.
A lot of joking around. Not joking around, but you know, playful chatter. Guys trying to make the Sports Center top 10 with their warm up dunks. Just a lot of, I guess, wasted energy, we could say.
Seemed like it. Yeah, I mean, it's easy to look at a loss and to think back to what was different, and that was something that was definitely different. And, you know, we could probably sit here and talk about this for a half hour. You know, we can poo-poo it and say it's minor, but we could really get into it and really analyze it and flesh out the details of the ramifications of what we saw. And it was really lax. And probably the most interesting thing is some other players' reactions to it. It's possible that you would have maybe some upperclassmen see what was going on and kind of maybe shape some people up to get them serious, and because that did not look serious.
Well, because two of the more serious guys, or at least focused guys during that warm up session, were Wink Adams and Joe Darter. You know, two, I guess, who really didn't look like anything had altered there.
They were pretty serious.
Yeah, serious as always.
The few,
and, yeah,
that looked like they were. You know, there was a ball game that needed some attention.
Yeah, and you know, but you kind of could tell that this was a team that maybe looked at those numbers and knew that Colorado State had lost the 19 straight regular season Mountain West games. Because the first, I'd say, probably 14, 15 minutes of that game tonight really resembled that demeanor. UNLV comes out and just played. It was just sloppy, bad, uninspired offense not that this is a very explosive, dynamic offensive team night in, night out, but, I mean, just making a lot of mistakes that we really don't see. Just silly turnovers, silly passes that you know, were guarded, and a lot of guys standing around, not moving around without the ball in their hands, standing around waiting for something to happen. It was very stale, like they expected to be up 10-0 as soon as they won the tip.
Let's not mitigate this either, because that kind of clownish, less than professional attitude during warm-ups carried right over to the first 8 minutes of the game. They're down 22-10 before Lon Kruger can blink his eyes three times, and let's go straight to his reaction after the game too, because he was embarrassed. That was not a Lon Kruger team. You said it. You know, there were some rec league passes out there. Mm-hmm. Very little energy, very little care. Mm-hmm. One means the other. And Kruger himself said, we were passing it to them for fast break.
We were giving them points. Open layups, is what he
and
said.
And that's
we
not were, a Lon Kruger team, and that's going to bristle him the most. And he is actually pretty flummoxed by his own players. I have a source who told me pretty much that was his attitude about 4 or 5 weeks ago, that this unit it's tough to gauge. It's tough to get a beat on them. It's tough to know how and when to get that, light that flame under them. Today was a really stark example of that, and he's got some work to do.
Yeah, and he was sending a message even during this game. You mentioned that 8-minute stretch. Within the first 9 minutes of this game, we saw all 12 Rebels who suited up and traveled for this game in the game, and that includes walk-ons like Scott Hoffman and Rob Ketchum making his first ever UNLV appearance. If that's not sending a message, I really don't know what is.
The very best thing that you can talk about to call from this game is the fact that Mr. Rob Ketchum, what a great first name, he is now a collegiate scorer. Mm-hmm. He can tell his grandkids all he wants about suiting up, about walking on, about making this team tougher, about passing the academic standards in the fall, about earning his number 13 uniform, about traveling with the Rebels. He can talk about all that, but he can also talk about being in the scorebook. Mm. So that's huge. That's great for Rob, and that's a great positive note. On the flip side, someone asked Kruger about playing all 12 in the first 9 minutes. He said because we didn't have 15.
Yeah.
I think if he'd had 18, he would have tried any combination and just gone out for desperation. I think if Kevin was in the crowd, that Lon would try to have tried to get some sort of quick emergency relief eligibility so Kevin could play one more game to get in there. Wouldn't that be special?
So the NCAA could have another Kevin Kruger rule.
Yeah, no kidding.
or if he had Chase Stanback and Derek Jasper and Chopper Jones and right. Todd Danny there, who knows who would have seen action tonight.
Right, and of course we're being a little facetious, but you know, at this point you got to laugh about that one, because what else are you going to do? Rebel fans, stay off the ledge.
Yeah, this is still a long season. There's a lot of basketball left, I guess I want to ask you about this, because you've seen the Rebel teams over the course of the season these last couple of years since making that Sweet 16 run. At this point in the season, did previous Rebel teams have as many issues as this team does, or I guess appear, I guess less this team needs a lot of molding. Did the previous two Rebel teams need as much molding still as this one does 17 games in?
Well, those were kind of special seasons. Obviously, two seasons ago, you had Kevin Kruger come in, and really, he was the rudder. I think this team, we'll come back to this, but I think this team is really searching for a rudder. Kevin Kruger was that rudder two seasons ago, took him to the Sweet 16. And he told me just a few weeks ago that he has never talked so much during a season as he did that season. Mm-hmm. You know what? It's interesting recalling all this too, because and he didn't care. He would get in your face, and he didn't care who you were, what your class was. If you were screwing up, you were going to know it. Kevin wasn't going to hesitate at any time because he had one season left. That was it. That was his one run, and he made the best of it, and it was because of him. This team needs someone like that. I mean, that's obvious, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean someone like Kevin Kruger is going to take it to Sweet 16 and all that. I mean, you need someone that's going to be a vocal leader who's going to get in someone's craw, like an Ed O'Bannon, which we will revisit in about the next week or two.
Yeah.
Last season, there was some unrest. Manny Adefe was kicked off the team. There was some departures. A real scramble for, you know, how they were going to play. And Kruger had a great reaction to that. He said, listen, we're going to forget all that and we're going to have fun. Our number one goal is to have fun. We're going to have fun the rest of the way. And that kind of loosened them up. They were the underdogs, Darger at center. So nobody really, what's the word? They just didn't, they were just always the underdog.
They weren't playing up to anybody else's expectations.
Right.
And, yeah.
Right. And that's what you bring in this season is expectations. You have a lot of new faces. You have chemistry issues that, understandably, with every team, anywhere, any season, you got to work out chemistry issues. That's going to come. It should come. Hopefully it does come. But, you know, you throw in some other things, there just aren't dependable players, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that is somehow an underlying thing that's seeping around this team. You know, when certain guys take certain shots and other guys are closer and they wanted the ball, we're going to probably see the bottom of this in the next week. I think some things will probably come to the surface.
Basically, it sounds like what you're talking about is maybe a little bit of ego, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Which, I mean,
jealousy, everything.
Kind of
like
goes
that.
Hand in hand with basketball,
right.
But it sounds like it's something that they haven't had to deal with, I guess, the last couple of years.
A big sign of their maturity was the fact that after losses, they were 12-1 the past two seasons. And that doesn't include, obviously, losses in the NCAA tournament that end your season. So 12-1 after losses, that's pretty decent. After tonight, they're 1-2 after losses. Mm-hmm. So something's wrong.
And it's not like they've had these long times to stew over losses. I mean, look at the losses they've had this year. You know, you lose to Cal, you have 24 hours till you play again. You think you can figure things out by then. You lose to Cincinnati, you got, I don't remember how long it was after that, but it wasn't much time off. They lose to TCU, you got 2 days to get ready for,
right.
for 3 days to get ready for this game. So
let's not mitigate this other, you know. There was a lot of talk about Monday and Tuesday practice, you know. They really got after it. The defense is looking stellar. Most of the coaches were talking along those lines. Let's see, was it Tuesday in particular where Wink Adams, it looked like he had finally shaken that bug from his abdominal strain. Did I say abdominal?
Abominable.
He's a snowman. It's late here, folks, and we're in Fort Collins. Forgive us.
It's that mountain air.
It had been 3 weeks since his abdominal strain, and Tuesday was really the first time that I saw him really take it to the hole without flinching, without hesitating, taking it in crowds and getting that Wink Adams strong finish, all that. And Kruger agreed that he looked the best he had all season. And then you put it all in a funnel, and you come out with this.
Yeah. And he was really the one guy who was, I would say, solid all around tonight. You know, he was taking the ball hard to the hole like that. He was finishing tough jumpers. You know, he fell victim to the same turnover bug that everybody else did in the first half, including Joe Darger, who had 20 points. But it was kind of as a whole. Those first 5 minutes, I think all five starters were on the bench within what, about 5-6 minutes.
Oh yeah,
it was quick.
It was stunning. Just the poor passes, the poor receiving, just no effort. It really did look like a YMCA out there tonight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty pitiful.
And you know, I mean, we don't need to go. There's some numbers that are certainly worth talking about here. I guess where would you like to start here? Because there's still plenty on the table here to talk about.
Kruger was 9-0 against Colorado State mm-hmm. until this game, 9-1. So mm-hmm. He gave a lot of credit to Tim Miles, and I think we should probably give Tim Miles a lot of credit also. He has a great sense of humor and a great attitude. He bared the brunt of that 0-16 conference slate last season. He's done a great job motivating these guys. The UNLV staff thought for sure that they were going to face a lot of zone today, a lot of 2-3 zone. Guess how many possessions Colorado State played zone on?
Tell me.
One. One in the first half. Their big thing was, their big scheme was to use UNLV's pressure against them, which mm-hmm. is the smart thing to do. You know, overplaying the wings, well, then make the backdoor cuts. They had a few of those. They also had a couple aces in the hole tonight in Andre McFarland and Harvey Perry, two Las Vegas natives who were overlooked by UNLV. Neither one had big points. You know, McFarland had 10, but
McFarland was solid.
He had five of his team's 7 points in a second half stretch in which it looked like UNLV was going to make a run, but they repelled him. So that was key. And also, Harvey Perry hit the jumper that gave Colorado State the lead for good at 39-38. He did not discount that shot.
Yeah.
He made two shots. That was one of them. And he did not mind that it beat the Rebels, because both of these kids said that UNLV got involved with them only after other schools had offered. And by that time, they had both kind of put UNLV out of their minds.
Well, both of them saw significant time in the interior, which was another area where UNLV struggled tonight. You know, they out-rebound Colorado State 32-31, the slimmest of margins. And, you know, we saw some good attacking on the boards from the Rebels at times, better than it was on Saturday when they were out-rebounded by 9 at TCU. But still, the two big men, Bryce Masamba played, I believe, 11 minutes. Darius Santee, you know, these are guys who played a combined 6 minutes in Fort Worth, played a combined 39 tonight. 3 rebounds.
Not only that, how many on the defensive end?
Uno.
That's pretty rough, because that's why Bryce Masamba did not play at TCU. The staff was pretty ticked that in the course of his season so far, granted he's a freshman, but up until TCU he had played 15 games with 9 defensive boards. That tells you a lot about what this staff expects from them. They don't talk about offensive boards. You know, that's going to come, slop, this, that, whatever. They expect defensive boards from their big man.
Stemming possessions, not allowing second chance points.
Right.
And, you know, they allowed 34 points in the paint tonight, too. It was just, like you said, a lot of the backdoor cutting that just wasn't picked up on.
At least they were able to offset some of that. Yeah. You know, not that games are actually, final scores are determined in the paint, and that's how a team wins or loses, but just the fact that those two guys can get one defensive board tonight, that's
in 39 minutes.
You know, that's the tip of the iceberg. There is a lot of pathetic things to talk about all the way across the board.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was certainly one of them. I guess let's talk about the other gorilla in the middle of the room, which was the inability to really take advantage of an opportunity over the stretch run of this game when Colorado State's offense sputtered for more than a little while.
Wow, yeah. Are you talking about the first half or second half?
Exactly, because they had some droughts. They left the back door open on several occasions.
Well, get this. Probably the most damning stat is the fact that over the last 4 minutes, 20-plus seconds of the game, Colorado State had 3 points. Mm-hmm. 3 points, and UNLV was not able to muster. It did, that doesn't even require you to put everything together and mount a fierce rally. They only trailed by a few at that point.
That's just 3 or 4 good possessions in a row.
You know, and again, miss a free throw here, miss a free throw there. They missed a couple bunny tips at the end. The game-winning shot that Belfield flashed at Louisville, the kind of the righty straight arm fling. We still have to come up for a name for that.
Flinger.
It's kind of a windmill shot off the backboard.
I like flinger.
Well, tonight it didn't go.
Yeah. Either way, it was a no-gooder.
Yep. And before that, Wink had a drive through the lane, and he appeared to stumble and just didn't have his footing on it. So that was kind of a lurching fling, the epitome of the game.
And you would think too that maybe in a game that's weird like this, you maybe want to go with a hot hand, or you may be surprised they didn't draw something up for a Joe Darger who was tonight 7-9 from the floor and 6-8 from three. Are you surprised they didn't try to free him up there in that last minute and a half or so?
I think this
not
team,
that Wink's not dependable.
Yeah. That's a signature move by him too. So I think it was good that he tried that, because that also shows that he's well on his way to being back to normal, if not normal. You know, I think people can put that lower ab strain that than the past, you know, and mm-hmm. not use that as a crutch. Not that he does; he never has. But just so the outsiders don't need to dwell on that anymore. Oscar looked real fine. People don't really have to talk about the hammy, because he's out there playing and going. It wasn't really favoring it or touching mm-hmm. it or anything like that. So there's no real reason to maybe use a spot up play. This team, one of its advantages and its big pluses is it's so flexible. And you take this away, you know, they're going to try option B, C, D. One thing they really tried to do tonight, Colorado State, is take away Darger's three-pointers. That's what McFarland said. But look at, there he is hitting 6-8, and they just couldn't do it. McFarland said, you know, he's just a damn good shooter. So those guys are going to get their shots, and you can't really fault anything for the end. Okay, Wink slips. You can't see that coming, but it was a great attempt. It's the way the ball rolls.
And a team that loves to chuck up threes, I mean, outside of Darger, only goes 2 of 11 from three-point range. So they stemmed everybody else.
Yeah, they did.
Nobody else really had clean looks.
Mm-mm. You know what? It was a real good game by Colorado State.
Yeah. And, you know, it says a lot about the start to that game to be able to hold on at the end, because, you know, it's almost kind of a lot like, look at the way UNLV started when they won at Louisville. Look at the way they started that game going up 15-0.
Right.
I mean, in the second half of that game, they had 6 field goals.
Right.
And about a 10-minute drought where they didn't score a field goal. So, you know, I mean, those big starts, it's not like you can wipe those away very easily.
Right. Colorado State sure did show a lot of moxie tonight. I mean,
yep.
UNLV took the lead, regained the lead, and then lost it. And that stretch right there of those two leads, we're only talking about 90 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So even without an overwhelming home crowd, that sixth man to give them energy, the Rams did not have that tonight. I mean, what, 2,500 people came by? It was
maybe.
You know, there was more people in the Walmart down the street. But so they deserve a whole lot of credit for whatever rallied them. Hope, you know, the coach did a great job. They followed the game plan, and they had this game from the start.
Well, this one's in the books. As much as UNLV fans are going to want to bitch and whine about this one, not a whole lot you can do about it now. So why don't we spin it forward and talk about the next game? We talked about how they're in this little holding pattern now where they're going to have the consistent midweek, weekend games. The weekend game this weekend, Saturday night, 7 p.m. at the Thomas and Mack Center against Wyoming, who pulled off a pretty big, I don't know if you want to say upset, but a pretty big win of their own tonight in Laramie, winning 83-79 over San Diego, over your alma, San Diego State.
I think I'm going to sneeze some more.
Oh, boy. well, you know, Wyoming's coming to town a little bit more of a polished product right now than Colorado State.
Yes,
and
yes.
A team that's going to be playing with a lot of confidence, with a very potent backcourt. A
lot of firepower. They have Brandon Ewing as their leading scorer. He's always dangerous. We got to ask him, what's a Chicago kid doing in Laramie, Wyoming?
That's 4 years.
That's,
I can't believe that.
First and foremost, I think he probably went there to warm up. Right?
Right about now, yeah, that's what it looks like.
But the impressive thing about Wyoming is they have four guys among the top 10 in scores, so here comes the arsenal.
Yeah, he had 24 points against San Diego State. He's averaging just a shade under 20 a game. The X factor for that team, probably Sean O'Geary, the senior transfer from Wichita State, shooting three-pointers at a 40% clip this year. He's hit 52 of them so far in 16 games. So very capable outside shooter who can get it off from just about anywhere. What are we? I mean, we're gonna let's talk about a little bit more about the Rebels, because I would imagine that their asses are gonna get kicked pretty hard in practice Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's gonna have to be tempered too, because they have such a quick turnaround. I would probably imagine or suggest that you know, they supposedly had such a great week in defensive practice all last week. They supposedly were so tight on defense Monday and Tuesday. I would probably just not do one lick of defense the next 2 days. Have them just shoot and forget about it, because maybe they're thinking too much about it. Of course, I'm being a little facetious, and I've never coached a game in my life, so I don't know what I'm talking about. But something's not working, and they've had some defensive concerns. If they are not on against Wyoming, they could really pay for it dearly, and Pack the Mac night could be sad.
And then you're looking at me. I mean, think about it. If you're looking at a 1-3 start in league going to BYU next Wednesday, this is a game. They've got to get back on track in some form.
Yeah,
going to BYU next week.
If they don't go to BYU with a victory against Wyoming, yeah, that could be really tough. Because it doesn't look good at this point for BYU. You know, there's going to be 20,000 screaming fans there. They've got the.
They're thirsty for blood.
Get the winning streak back up there, yeah. And they don't exactly like the Rebels.
So, gee, you don't say.
Yeah, Lee Kamard's wife, I think, is on the punching bag as we speak, getting ready for him. Is that the speed bag? That's what I meant, right?
Wow. It's funny you mentioned the defensive thing in practice, and Wink Adams, I guess we can kind of start wrapping it up here. Wink Adams was talking after the game. He was just saying, you know, we got to get it figured out on defense. You know, offense, we don't even worry about. And, you know, you think about it. I mean, shooting at this point, how much more can you really get going on that? You know, really what this came down to at the beginning of the game was really just any kind of hunger. There was no kind of hunger on the offensive end. Nobody really seemed to want to move much without the ball in their hands. There was a lot of standing around, very stagnant, just stale off. I mean, I can't remember seeing a stretch like that offensively where everybody just looked so lethargic this year.
If you think you can't, and I think I can't remember that or recall that, seeing that or experiencing that,
it probably didn't happen.
Hey, the heck with you and me. There's a guy who was on that court tonight who has coached 23 seasons in college basketball. Lon Kruger's never seen that.
Yeah.
Some of those plays, and it should have been a hockey thing, you know. UNLV players should have gotten assists for some of those Colorado State buckets. It was that easy and blatant and explicit and unforgivable.
They were genuine pick sixes.
Yeah.
Basically. I mean, they were giving them away. And whatever it was, they're going to have to hope that it gets shaken out by Saturday night, because Wyoming can capitalize on those twice as efficiently as Colorado State can.
Yeah. You know, and just to wrap it up with what I was sort of leading into, I don't know, when did we start this? 2 hours ago, this podcast?
So, yeah, somewhere around there.
My thought is that Wink Adams is such a lead-by-example type guy that I think some words are probably going to be needed to be said by him. You know, I think he is going to have to be the one to lay down some laws, mm-hmm. and demand that a lot of this stuff can't continue.
I really can't say it any better than that. You're such a genius. I'm so just intimidated in your presence. It's so often.
I told you New Year's Eve and the fans. New Year's Eve. Remember the resolutions? I'm getting my butt down and I'm playing defense in 09, and I'm doing it. Am I wrong?
I can't. Dude, you forced me into so many turnovers this trip already. I can't even count. I lost count. Well, anyway, any final comments, Mr. Mish?
No.
Probably better that way for both of us. Yeah. Well, for Rob Mish, I'm Ryan Green.
No, we gotta wait. We can't end this without sending out a shout out to your parents who are freezing in Chicago. What did it get up to today? -9?
Yeah.
Mama and Papa Green just put another log on the fire.
They don't have a fireplace.
Buy a fireplace tomorrow.
Or just move to Vegas. I stopped telling them what the temperature was about midweek. Anyway, for Rob Mish, I'm Ryan Green. This has been the Rebel Room Postgame Edition. We will talk to you again Saturday following the Wyoming game, win, lose, or draw. Take care.